So yeah, welcome this morning, and my name is Mary, and been asked to share with you this morning on our topic of prayer that we've been going through as a church family. And I don't come as an expert, just saying that, don't come as an expert or a theologian, but I do come as a fellow traveller on a journey of discovering who God is, and discovering my part in that and life. So yeah, so it's a privilege to share part of that journey with you and explore that together. And yeah, such a powerful time and just, yeah, prayer. I felt very unqualified actually with this topic and love putting my hand up for a bit of a challenge. It's been an awesome journey of actually God kind of shifting my view on this. And last week we heard Bevan, and he introduced the series Praying to God. And this week I'm going to be sharing Praying with Jesus. And like Bevan, he shifted his message and he actually framed it up praying backwards. And I'd actually already planned this and I thought, well, this just flows on really nicely. Because this morning we're taking that next step in that journey of what it means to pray with Jesus, not just bringing requests to God, but living in his presence with Jesus. And so this morning, I'm going to change my message name to Wasting Time with Jesus. Wasting Time with Jesus. You might be sitting there going, waste? Like, you never waste time with Jesus. Yes, but this morning we're going to learn about wasting time with Jesus. What does waste mean? So I want to start with the dictionary definition of waste. It says to expend carelessly, extravagantly, or to no purpose. So everything in our culture, right, says that don't waste time. You need to be productive. You need to maximize everything. You need to be efficient, and you need to make everything count. And we go, 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 right? We just continually striving and going and going. So when I say wasting time with Jesus, it kind of sounds a little bit irresponsible, eh? But I like being irresponsible, so we'll go with this. But what if the most important moments in life actually look unproductive in our culture's eyes? Or even like an interruption. Because what if the most important moments in life are meant to be about being still and becoming who you were created to be? The abundant life Jesus promised, and I probably say this nearly every time I get up and speak, John 10:10, Jesus said, come to give you a life of abundance. What if that abundance doesn't come through striving? What if it doesn't come through our productivity? But what if it actually comes through presence, through being still, through intimacy, and through rest? Because this is what I feel like God is taking me on the journey on. The abundant life is not busier. It's not fuller. It's not more stress. It's actually freedom. It's freeing. And so, yeah, so praying with, last week hearing about praying in Jesus' name, and this praying backwards that Bevan spoke about, moving deeper into that we're not only invited to pray to God through Jesus, but we're invited to pray with Jesus. That this is a two-way conversation, that this is not just us coming to God, but actually him calling us into his redemptive plan, calling us to co-labor with him, to be part of who he is. That's pretty incredible. And what if that striving and that busier is actually what gets in the way of us stepping into that? And that's a challenge that I've been challenged in this, because with a busy week, or, well, you know, and that's what we always say, busy week, but it's always a busy week, no matter what week it is, it seems like. And, you know, like, I've got lots of things on, responsibilities, and then I'm putting this together, and how to not be busier, how to not. And so it's been actually a really cool week. Some challenges in the week, but actually an amazing week, because I pressed into what this looks like. It says in Hebrews 4:15-16, reveals something really powerful. It says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness. We have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. So, God is the empathizing in our weakness. And so I want to start from that place of God is there with us, that this is not condemnation, this is invitation. He is drawing us in. And referring to God as our high priest, because of sin, in the Old Testament, ordinary people, like you and I, could not, in their culture, could not enter directly into God's presence, into that holy place which was the temple. A high priest would have to go in on behalf of the people. So this was, had to go through someone else. And Jesus came and has now changed that paradigm by that. Prayer is actually not trying to reach God, but it's entering into relationship with Him through the Father, or through Jesus with the Father. So through what Jesus done, coming on the cross and not sinning, that now we can take confidence. We can enter into His presence with confidence. We don't have to have it all together. And I'm very grateful for that. That prayer, praying with Jesus, is not trying to reach God or trying to appease, but that actually it's an invitation. And He understands us. He intercedes with us. He is there. He wants to be with us, His presence with us. That we're not alone in this. That Jesus is like, you struggle to do that on your own. And He's not putting that expectations on us. Jesus prayed often. So when we look at the New Testament, it was incredible scene, and often Jesus said He removed Himself. He stepped away from the crowds, the people, and He took time Himself. So this is not saying He's saying you have to do. He's saying join with me in this journey, in this time of prayer. And there's a prayer recorded in John 17 when Jesus prayed for us. And He didn't ask for our success, for us to be successful. He didn't ask for life to be easy for us, or for it to be plain sailing, or that we would be more productive for Him. No, that's not what He asked for. He prayed, the thing that He continually, in that passage, kept going back to, He prayed that we would be with Him as He is with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And that's His prayer. To be with Him, to partner with Him. That's the thing He wanted most for us, not working or striving, but for us just to be with Him, just to hang out, just to waste time with Him, right? Just to hang out and waste time with Jesus. That's His prayer. And this is where we find His rest. Hebrews 4, verse 1. It opens with a challenging verse, and when the topic of prayer came up and I was looking at it, or I said yes to speaking on this, and there was this chapter of Hebrews that was Josiah had put with it, And I read the first word, I read the first verse, and I sat on that for like the first few weeks. It's like, this is hard. This is challenging. It says, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of us have found fallen short of it. Ooh. Who here has fallen short of the promise of God's rest? Put both hands up. Yeah. And it says in verse 9 to 11, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For everyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following the example of disobedience. Every effort. Disobedience? Oh, perishing? It's quite strong, eh? It's quite strong. And this is, so I'm like, wow, this is really, really important. Because our natural instinct of human heart is to trust our own effort instead of trusting God's. I trust my own effort a lot. I'm quite good at it, actually, ask my husband. And after the fall, humans stepped into learning to live by control, by their own effort, survival, proving ourselves. But it's God's invitation has always been something different. His invitation is that we don't have to strive in ourselves. And this is what I believe that the invitation of praying with Jesus is all about. It says in Isaiah 30 verse 15, this is what the Sovereign Lord, O the Holy One of Israel, says, in repentance and rest is your salvation, in quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it. This is even before Jesus, before the cross. Rest is your salvation, trust is your strength. And Isaiah is saying, but you would have none of it. You would have none of it. And when you see what the nation of Israel and what he was speaking to, context, man, they suffered from it hugely. But you know, rest is not doing nothing or not making no effort. That's not what rest is. It's not sitting back, it's not sitting back and just doing nothing. It might look like that. It might look like meditation and being still. But that's not the kind of rest that I've been exploring from this word. This morning, I was walking out to the car and there was this weed that had shot up. I don't know, weeds grow really well, right? They seem to just, they grow much better than the plants. And it was just right poking up in the garden, and I have this bit of a habit as I walk past, so I just rip them out, and as I pulled it out, I realized something, that entering God's rest, it's not about ignoring the weeds, it's not about sitting back and not weeding your garden and pretending they don't exist, because they do, they're there, and they're still there, the weeds still exist. People still suffer. Brokenness still appears in life, right? It's all around us. And it's not that we stand back and, no, I'm just hanging out with Jesus, just wasting time with Jesus, so I got no time for you. It's not that. It's the difference is we're no longer tending the garden alone, but we're tending it with Jesus, that he's in the garden, in the weeds with us, and he wants that partnership. That's his heart. And he wants to partner with us in that. Not us striving to please him on our own, but actually partnering with him in it. And that's the awesome thing. And that he has promised us his spirit to dwell in us, to be our strength, and that we can live from his resting presence. His presence rests on us. The Holy Spirit rests on us, dwells within us. And that when we are in that space, we can have chaos all around us And it's not that we ignore the chaos, but we are actually positioned from a place of strength, from a place of rest, that then we can step out. It says in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you are heavy laden, all you're holding, just weighed down, come to me, Jesus said, and I will give you rest. And it's his rest. It's not a rest that we find. It's not something that we're, okay, get everything sorted so I can rest up. It's a get everything sorted from a place of rest, from a mindset, from a just a place of his presence and knowing we are enough. God rested after creation. It says on the seventh day, finished his work, and he rested. And in this rest, it was interesting because it was a celebration of what he'd done. It is good. It was a time of reflection. It was just a time of being that he rested. And Jesus on the cross echoed, it is finished. It is finished. It is done. I have done it. It's not God was tired, so he had to rest, but it was complete. It's this completion that Jesus, that God and Jesus have done for us. They have completed. This is the rest. We don't have to earn it. Sorry to break the news to you, but God doesn't actually need us. He doesn't need us. He wants us. He doesn't need us. He's in not need of our worship or our praise or our good works. He doesn't need that. He wants us. He wants our hearts. He wants us to partner with and take that journey. But here's the hard part. I've got a part of that struggle of choosing to waste time with Jesus is me. It's what's in here. And it's not that I don't love him. It's not that I don't, desire to. But you know, stillness is pretty confronting, right? We slow down or we take a moment, things surface, fears. When we've got noise and clutter going on, we don't have to reflect. We don't have to actually be honest with ourselves. Shame, blame. You see things out of control, you slow down and, oh, I'm not controlling. Controlling, we often control in the name of responsibility. Pain surfaces when we slow down, when we actually slow down and, waste time with Jesus. It can be painful. Insecurities. And it speaks to this in Hebrews 4, verse 12 to 13. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates, even dividing the soul, spirit, joints, and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before his eyes of him who we must give an account. Prayer exposes what's driving us. What is our true motivation? And God's word, which comes through prayer, through reading the word. And this exposure is actually not about condemnation. It's actually about freedom. And the more that we're willing to be exposed and our stuff, that our baggage that we've taken on in life, the more that we step into that space and press into Jesus, the more that stuff gets out of the way. And then we can partner with Jesus to a greater level and we can live more freely. It says in the next verse, verse 14, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. And yes, things will be exposed, but we've got a great high priest. And he's there. He's there with the Father, advocating for us. We can be fully seen and fully accepted and fully welcomed into his presence. And that's the incredible thing. Fully exposed, come naked before him, eh? And we just have so many insecurities holding us back. So many things that are driving, that striving to prove myself, to I've got to keep doing. Because wasting time with Jesus means letting go. Letting go of control, letting go of performance, letting go of the illusion that we're holding everything together. If I don't sort everything, then things will fall apart. But you know, it was never us holding the world together, right? Rest, praying with Jesus, wasting time with Jesus is actually about us stepping off the throne. It's about us stopping trying to play God and trusting the one who belongs there. When we actually praise God in like our worship time, when we put God on the throne, we take our correct position. And it's so much less burdensome. It's so restful. It's so peaceful, eh? When we put God on the throne, he is God. I don't have to sort everything out. Yeah, we're going to let some people down. If we waste time with Jesus, we're going to be letting other people's expectations down often. And that's some of the fears that we've got to face of what's driving us. Is our striving actually more about appeasing me and making me feel good that I've done something good for you? Or is rather than actually doing the good thing? Let's be honest. There's self-motivation behind every good deed we do. And let's just be honest with that and be okay with it and give that to God. The Lord's Prayer, we have this beautiful resource here to take home. And the Lord's Prayer really sums that up. Says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. We're loved. We're loved and God is God. He is on the throne. It's his kingdom. Hallowed be his name. He is worthy of our honor. His kingdom come, his will be done. It's not our kingdom. It's his. Let go. Let God be God. Give us today. Hey God, I'm coming at the mercy of you. I trust you. Forgive us. The things that weigh us down, the things that exposed. His forgiveness is there. Repentance is actually freeing. It's actually for us. It's not for God. He sees it all. He's not surprised or worried. He's not concerned. Yeah. When we confess the things weighing down, it releases the burden. When we pray with Jesus, lead us. Lead us not into temptation. Ask him for guidance. God, take us on that journey. We're coming with you. In that intimacy, that spending time with Jesus, something beautiful happens. The fears and lies that have been shaping us, they release their power over us. And we start to become the person that God has created us to become, with incredible potential, creativity, to live life fully, an abundant life. Says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, "And we all, beholding the glory of God, have been transformed into his image." We become more like God. We become like the people that we spend the most time with. They say, if you want to know who a person will become as they grow up, as a youngster, look at their five friends around them, their five best friends around them. That's who they'll become. Because we reflect, we become like the people around us. Intimacy transforms identity. It's through their intimate relationships that we have in life that transforms our identity. So why not spend that time with Jesus just waste time with Jesus and you'll become the incredible human that you're created to be. For me, wasting time with Jesus often looks like having a coffee. My journey through cancer, 10, 12, 15 years ago now, can't remember, sometime back, and it was actually when I started drinking coffee, and it has such a fond memory now, because I just sit in the presence of Jesus and just have my coffee. It's so nice, yeah. Can look like a walk at the beach, pedaling a bike. Have epiphanies when I'm pedaling my bike and just, I took it on that when I pedal my bike, I'm going for a pedal bike with Jesus. It's more of a crazy one on the roads though than a jumpy one. So, talking honestly with him, just sitting and talking with him. Yeah, and for me as well, spending time with Jesus, exploring random topics about life. I love that. And I just sit and ponder and push, pull, and research. Amazing research tools out there now for us to push, pull ideas and just ponder and think and explore. It doesn't have to always look super spiritual as such. It's relational. It's presence. And it's from that presence of God that abundant life flows. I was recently walking along the beach. Say recently, it was actually quite some time ago. Walking along the beach with my dog Trigger. And if you've ever walked a dog, you know, they don't really care where you're going. He's Trigger dog. They're just happy to be with you. He's often got a smile on. He's a good boy. And Trigger, he just runs around, he runs ahead, he sniffs random stuff, and he comes back. And Kylie sometimes looks after my dog, Trigger, and Kylie's like, why does he kind of runs back and he'll give you a little nudge in your hand, and you just, you know, and it's like, come on. But that's Trigger. He's like, yeah, I'm here, just give you a little nudge and a look. He always just wants to, and he just wants to be with you. And I felt like God saying, be like Trigger, Mary, be like Trigger. Not rolling in the dead fish, or, you know, he does that too, like, and gets really smelly, which is not, just in the way that he just wants to hang out with me, like he just wants to hang out with you, and just run around. He's got no agenda, he's not trying to achieve anything, he doesn't even chase sticks and bring them back, he just cruises along and, yeah, he's just happy to be in my presence. And I felt like God saying, it's not about doing things for me, Mary. It's not about working and striving. It's just about being with me. And it's not the first time God's had to remind me of that. It's a continual. And that's what I believe praying with Jesus is meant to be. It doesn't have to be for a purpose, as such, for a purpose of ours. It's just for Jesus, for him, for who he is. Just wasting time with him, expending it generously, just giving him, being a little bit careless. Can always apologize to the other things later. But yeah, not striving, not performing, just simply wasting time with Jesus. So right now, I want us to take a practice this. Have a little, for the next 2 minutes, we're simply going to waste time with Jesus. And that might mean for you just sitting and chilling. It might mean for you walking around. Take a walk around. I'm a walker. It actually, walking and connecting with God, our body movement is actually powerful to our spirituality and who we are. So happy, and I love seeing the dancers up here during worship. Like, they've actually got some freedom that we need, that I envy. I've never been a dancer though, so, but I don't want to ride my motorbike across here. That might be a bit too, interrupting. Okay, so hold that to myself. But yeah, just want you to feel some freedom now. If you stand up, if you, Yeah, whatever, whatever you feel. But no pressure to hear anything from God. Just simply a moment to be present with Him. And I've got three questions that are going to come up here, and that I want, yeah, if you want to sit and ponder with or just be with, that's okay. But yeah, Jesus, what's on your heart? Jesus, what do you enjoy about being with me today? Jesus, what can I stop striving for today? So let's just be. Let's just waste some time with Jesus. Mm-hmm.